Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Across America, statistics continue to declare that young people are putting off marriage far later in life than they ever have before. Yet, in the Christian community, a young adult who stays single into their 20s, early 30s, and beyond can still feel a bit exotic. We go on the road today with a friend of the program who found herself in a season of singleness, and in her wondering what God had next for her, discovered a remarkable ministry to young people traveling a similar path. Recently, she's spoken out boldly about what a strong woman of God really looks like, and contrasts that vision in a compelling way with what society so often expects and idealizes. Lauren DeMoss is the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. She dislikes early mornings, spiders, and folding laundry. She likes shoe shopping, or any type of shopping, really, she says, ice cream, texting, tweeting, candy apples, and loves her family, friends, and more than anything, Jesus. And so our very warmest welcome back on the road to you, Lauren. It is lovely to have you back.
I'm so excited to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it's really our honor. We had just a tremendous response last time when you joined us here on Faith Radio. And of course, when we last talked, we spent a good bit of the conversation highlighting your unique journey, your heart for those who are waiting to find that right person that God has for them. That was a journey that you knew well because you were walking it yourself. But recently you had some big news on that front. So go ahead and tell us about that, if you would.
So last time we talked, I think I was dating Michael. I think we had just started dating. And I was pretty sure that he was the one that I was going to marry. But of course, I couldn't say that for sure because God's plans are not always what we think they are. But a few months later, after the interview, he asked me to marry him, and I became a Benson in March of this year. And it's been completely wonderful. Marriage is awesome, and I highly recommend it. And I'm so thankful for him.
Oh, congratulations. Looking back, are there lessons that you think God taught you during your time of singleness that perhaps you wouldn't have learned otherwise?
Absolutely. I know that definitely I would not be where I am today if it were not for those years. I know that God knew best, and he knew I needed to learn certain lessons and desire certain things and have certain experiences to bring me to this place. I started the Full-Time Girl Ministry, and I make a big impact on countless lives that I otherwise would not have gotten the chance to touch if it weren't for those years and those struggles. Girls will write to me all the time and tell me about heartbreak and loneliness and struggling with faith and hurt. And sometimes I read them and I just cry because I know. And my heart can like literally take me to a place of pain with them because I have walked that road and I have been there. And even when I didn't know how or when my own story would work out, I trusted that God was right and his plan was best. And now I can tell others to do the same.
Oh, that's fantastic. And of course, it's one thing to intellectually know that the future is going to be in God's hands. But in this journey that you have lived, I imagine the truth that the Bible tells us that God works all things together for good. Is that even more evident to you now?
Yeah. Anyone who has read my blog at all, or anyone who wants to, they can still go back and read some of my posts. They can see how transparent I was with my heart. I've really been through tough stuff and some hard relationships, and they made my standards higher, and they made me wiser, and I just knew that God would not fail me. I knew that if I truly believed and made it a point to tell everyone that I was committed to doing it God's way, he would really just have to come through for me, and I would be able to say, it works. God's way works, and his way is perfect, and my life isn't perfect by any means. But I have a wonderful man who loves me and loves God even more and treats me like a queen, and it's all because of God.
Were there temptations along the way to perhaps settle for less? You hear that phrase so often, but just as you responded to that question, I wonder, were there times in your story as well when you thought, well, this might be the best deal I'm going to get. It doesn't feel completely right from a spiritual perspective, but maybe I should go ahead and take it.
Absolutely. I mean, there were relationships that I was in that I, honestly, I tried to settle for. And God wouldn't let me. He brought certain things to my attention or made me aware of certain things going on or just put these red flags up or even had the guy break up with me so that I wouldn't be stuck in a relationship that wasn't God-honoring and wasn't God's plan.
Going on the road today with Lauren DeMoss, the founder and the author of thefulltimegirl.com. It really is a fantastic blog. What do you say to someone who maybe is hearing your story and thinking, well, that's nice, Lauren, glad that worked for you, but I've tried, but my relationships just never go anywhere, and really when it comes to finding a mate, I have pretty much just given up?
I would say don't. Don't give up. Because God will never give up on you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what has been done to you. I don't care what kind of relationships you have been through and failed at. God's plan works for everybody. Amen?
Amen.
And, I mean, no one is too far gone or too lost or been too hurt to come back and believe God's word and give their life to Him. And just see Him work in their lives. And that's what grace is all about, and it's amazing.
Absolutely. Well, one of your latest blogs caught my attention. It's called 7 Characteristics of Strong Women of God. And you compare society's understanding of feminism, really, and what makes a strong woman with what you feel God is calling women to. And you start out with this compelling sentence, quote, "Women that label themselves feminists say they want to be treated equally. They want to be treated just like men, but I don't want that." And that's an end quote. So why not? Why don't you want that?
Not only does society have certain expectations for men, but God has specific roles for men that women cannot fulfill and roles for men that women cannot fulfill. If you're a wife or a mother, you know this more than anyone to be true. And I, for one, did not want to answer to God for all the things that my husband has to answer to God for. I'm content in my role as a woman, and I aim to be a woman of God.
Understood. Understood. Well said. Lauren DeMoss is here with us on the road, the founder and the author of thefulltimegirl.com. And we've been talking about Lauren's remarkable story about God's plan and also what makes a strong woman of God. And I really appreciate talking to you about this because I look at so many of my friends and those in my family who are women today, and especially young women. It just feels like, my goodness, has there ever been a tougher time to grow up and to become the person that God made us to be than this world where there is so much confusion and just so much, so many messages that are that are just contrary to really our real purpose? Does it feel that way to you? I mean, you see the stories day in and day out.
Definitely. Society places all these expectations on women, and starting at a very, very young age. I feel sometimes we are pulled in a million different directions. You know, be more sexual, be a super mom, be anything you want to be pretty, be skinny, be popular, be smart, be this, be that, just be yourself, but not like that. You know, like, it's definitely different, and I think it's harder for women than it is for men in this area.
Your first declaration in this piece, 7 Characteristics of Strong Women of God, is that a woman of God is confident in her Creator, and confidence is one of those biggest struggles for all of us, I believe, but perhaps especially for women in this era.
Like I said, we're pulled in a million different directions, and everybody is telling us what we're supposed to be, and we have to get back to biblical femininity, and we have to, in order to be confident, we have to know God's rules. God made us. God is the king of the universe. So when we make our own universe, then we can make our own rules. But until then, we have to abide by His rules, and it really is the best thing for us.
And some people, I think, they look at a definition of a role like that, and they say, well, you're limiting yourself to some type of societal role. But at the same time, I mean, the people that God has created us to be is really, is it fair to say that's the source of why we can be confident in who we are? Because God has given us a purpose as people.
I would say confidence comes from your Creator and knowing who and whose you are in Christ. And it does, but we were made in His image for His purpose and perfectly by His hand. But even more than that, really, real confidence comes from doing what's right and being right with God, having peace that you're doing and obeying all that He has laid out for you to do. And sometimes in life, that's more confusing than other times. But that's always the goal, complete surrender and obedience. And nothing beats that. No morning mantra, no follower count, no man or woman on this earth to shower you with love or gifts every day. Nothing beats the confidence from knowing exactly where you stand with God, because God wants He wants us to have peace, and He wants us to have joy, and He wants us to have success in serving the kingdom.
Wow, and that's really profound, isn't it? Because we try, if we don't have that confidence in whose we are, we try to fill it with something else, right? We'll try to fill it with success. We'll try to fill it, like you mentioned, maybe even with someone else. But if we don't have that, we're never really going to be satisfied, are we?
Right. It's only a Band-Aid on a wound that needs healing.
Well said. All right, number 2 point in your blog, you say a strong woman of God appreciates and encourages the men around them. Why is that important, and is it a bit countercultural, actually, to even say that? I can see that somehow being controversial.
Yes, definitely. I think feminism, in general, gives men a bad rap. I think it minimizes a man's importance and his role and his strength. And it tells women, you don't need men. And that's not true. God created us male and female because we need each other. We need men for all sorts of things. And they need us. Like I said, they don't know how to rock a baby as gently as we do. And we don't maybe have the strength physically, emotionally, maybe that they have. I don't know. We balance each other out.
Yeah.
And there are men who do things every day that I, as a woman, could not do for the kingdom of God, and for that I am thankful for them and for the fact that God created them as a man. These men need to be acknowledged and appreciated as the sons of God, just like we need to be appreciated and recognized as the daughters of God that we are.
That's the voice of Lauren DeMoss here on The Road for Faith Radio. I'm Ryan Thomas, and Lauren is the founder and author of The Full-Time Girl .com. Some tremendous and fresh perspective there on Lauren's blog. Just a tremendous ministry to young women especially, but really to young men as well. Third, in this blog, which is called 7 Characteristics of Strong Women of God, you say she strengthens her arms to serve, and you note that, quote, her arms are not strong simply to look good in a sleeveless shirt. Her kind of strength is not for show. It is for service. So what's the heart behind that point?
You know, ever since I was introduced to PrayFit Ministries, and if you haven't checked them out or checked out that ministry, you really need to. They're doing great things for God. But ever since I was introduced to them, I have looked at health and fitness in the proper perspective. Health and fitness is huge right now, which is awesome. But I think a lot of people have a hard time sort of melding health and fitness and modesty and Christianity and the very reason for our health and fitness, which is Jesus Christ. Proverbs 31 says that girl was strong, but I don't think she was doing it so that she could post questionable selfies on Instagram or the internet. She was strengthening herself and taking care of her body so that she could serve to the best of her ability.
Right.
I mean, I want to do God's hands and His feet, and I can't do that in the way I should if I'm not doing everything in my power to equip my body for His service.
Man, that makes you think. Well said. Yeah. Your 4th point is that they are 4 other women, and they are 4, F-O-R, other women. And you specifically mentioned tearing others down, judging others. Why is it so easy to fall into those traps, and why do we need to work so hard to avoid them?
I think comparison is natural for women because we are constantly told to be something other than what we are. We look around at others and pick out their flaws because we're not confident in ourselves. We're focusing on all the wrong things and, like you said, getting our confidence in all the wrong places. Mm. And when we're worrying about lifting others up and doing what's right and encouraging one another, like the Bible tells us to be doing, then we're not going to have time to be looking around at other women, comparing ourselves and judging each other. We're not going to have time to look down on other people and pick out their flaws so we can feel better about ourselves, to put our Band-Aid on our insecurities. In all honesty, that kind of stuff just makes us feel worse. So a strong woman of God is focused on lifting each other up and encouraging one another and embracing one another instead of pushing people away because we feel bad about ourselves.
Wow, that really gets to the heart of that matter for sure. That's convicting as well. You say, fifth, they speak with truth and grace. A strong woman of God speaks with truth and grace. It seems like it can be easy to go to an extreme either way there, because we can be all grace or we can be all truth, and sometimes leaving the other one out in both of those scenarios. So how can we walk that line, and why is it important that we should?
I think I could spend probably an hour here talking about this subject. In our don't judge me generation, people often interpret the truth as unloving, period. Yeah. They say, you know, you point out sin or say something is sin or say something is wrong, and they say, what? You can't judge them? You can't tell them they're wrong or in sin? Really, that's the most loving thing I can do. Jesus didn't accept people just like they were and refused to judge them. He was God, and he used the law to show people that they were sinners. He told them they were in sin before he could tell them that he was their savior. Think about it. The woman caught in adultery, that was brought before Jesus, he didn't say, we're cool, I don't judge. He said, what did he say? He said, go and sin no more. He told the woman at the well every sin she ever committed. And then he told her that he was the living water. See, if we don't tell people they're sinners, they can't possibly see their need for a savior. That's the reason we speak the truth, because of love. Not to leave them in their hopeless state and feel better about how morally superior we are. But true Christian love is overcoming the fear of offending someone and bringing them the truth of God's word so that they can come to Jesus and live eternally in heaven instead of hell. And really, that's the most loving thing we can do.
Just following up on that point, because I think it's so key. I mean, we're in a place right now where, as you said, anytime we speak out on anything in a manner to say, well, this is right or this is wrong, and it is because the Bible says so, I mean, we can be shot down pretty quickly and labeled as anything from bigots to at least judgmental. But in your own life, how have you found the courage to speak out when you know that you need to, when something is wrong?
Not for the faint of heart, let me tell you. When I first started my ministry and started saying, hey, this is wrong and this is wrong and we need to do it God's way, I was attacked so much and I was so hurt, like personally. Mm-hmm. But as I've grown and as I've seen, you know, more and more people speak out against really the truth and God's truth, I realized that it's not personal. That's not me they're attacking. I'm simply the messenger. I mean, we're using discernment found in the Bible and to say, hey, you're in sin and this is destructive. You know, that's something that they don't like to hear. But in all actuality, when they, you know, when you have a backlash from something like that, it's not you they're mad at. It's really the truth of God's word. And I think it was Spurgeon who has this quote, and it says, the very same man who argued you down can sometimes be found years later to be changed by something you said. So I always speak the truth, because God's word is never going to return void, and it's always going to prick the heart, and maybe they're going to lash out now, but God is going to work. afterwards, even when we don't see it.
Oh, that's a fantastic word. A fantastic word from Lauren DeMoss, the founder and author of thefulltimegirl.com, who joins us on the road, sharing about her story, about her faith, and about her blog as well. It's called The Seven Characteristics of a Strong, or rather, The Seven Characteristics of Strong Women of God. And number six on your list of seven, you say they embrace their femininity. And we talked a little bit about this before, but this is specifically tough now, isn't it? Because our culture is grappling with even the very definition of gender itself. But why is this so key in your mind?
Biblical femininity is something so very different than what the world thinks a woman should be and what the world is offering women today. We already talked about some of the things that the world thinks we should be. Where the world thinks we should be pretty, God says we should adorn our hearts more than our faces or our bodies. Where the world thinks we should be sexy, God says sex is a beautiful gift He has saved for inside a loving marriage. Where the world thinks we should grab all the attention we can for ourselves, God says we should live our lives pointing to Jesus Christ and the cross. Where the world thinks we should be anything but beautiful and modest and humble and good and just and pure, God says we should be all of these things. Mm. And that is, in His sight, it's a rare and precious gem. Where the world thinks we should just do whatever we want, no matter what anybody says or thinks, God says we should submit to authority in our lives and seek our husbands. You know, that's the kind of girl that I want to be for my Savior. I want to live by His rules and be His kind of girl.
Understood. Well, the last point you make in the blog, you say, lastly, a strong woman of God changes the world. And it sounds ambitious, but you really believe that that's the business that strong women of God should be in, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it is a big task. We're not only asked to love God and live right, but now that we're saved and we're privy to this knowledge in the Bible, we are called and commanded to tell others. And I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, it looked like writing a blog and bearing my soul to millions of strangers on the internet. But for you, it might mean serving in your church or volunteering in your youth group or inviting your neighbor to church, being light in your workplace, discipling a younger Christian in your church. The world is a huge place, and it's a daunting task, and sometimes it's overwhelming. And the goal is not for one person to reach everybody, but for each one to reach one. The power of the gospel lies in the hands of the individual. If you reach one, you change one life, and that makes two. Then you both go reach one. That makes four. Then you both, or you all go out and reach one more, and that makes eight, and so on. That's how we're going to win the world for Christ. Not one of us can do it alone. Believe me, I can try all I want, and I can yell as loud as I can and as loud as I want, but I will never be able to talk to your coworker or your unsafe family member or that young girl struggling with her faith in your church. That's your job. I can't do it. So even in my blog, I really try to focus on the power of one. If one person needs my attention, I'm going to do my best to give it to them, because we're not going to change the world by, you know, mass audience by mass audience. We're going to do it one at a time. And that is really all we're called to do.
That is a very inspiring last point from Lauren DeMoss, the founder and author of thefulltimegirl.com. And I know, Lauren, that you are active on social media as well. Would you recommend that people check you out anywhere else besides the blog, thefulltimegirl.com?
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter at Lauren DeMoss. I'm on Instagram at Lauren DeMoss. And I have an account for The Full Time Girl. My page on Facebook, The Full Time Girl page, I update those regularly. Daily, sometimes more than daily, and I put things on there that, you know, don't go on the blog all the time. So if you want to hear, you know, what I had to say on the daily, then check it out. Sure.
Well, and I think that a lot of us who've been sharing in the conversation today will want to do just that. And specifically, if you've caught us talking about this latest blog, it's called The 7 Characteristics of Strong Women of God. And once again, the website is thefulltimegirl.com. And Lauren, it really just has been, as I anticipated that it would be, lovely talking to you today. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom and also just for the courage to stand up and say these things boldly and out loud.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy talking to you, and it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you what God's put on my heart today.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.